Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Todd the show saying he doesn't think that Jordan Alvarez is injury prone. Yeah, he misses games for soft hands, bad pillows, outfield smoke. He missed almost 50 games 2 years ago with hand issues.
Todd does have hand issues. Odd fights that he picks to battle sometimes.
He's contrarian. Todd's contrarian. Todd also says that he thinks that fans watching, our pocket watching owners in baseball is funny, which I get where he's coming from because Major League Baseball isn't a salary cap sport. So, like, hey, Steve Cohen can spend whatever he wants. But I think that we're realistic in Houston that Jim Crane is going to be around the competitive balance tax. Like, I think you can use the competitive balance tax as a soft budget for Jim Crane. And maybe it might be more than soft. It might be hard. It might be a hard budget for Jim Crane and for Dana Brown. So, I think fans are smart enough to know that while there's not a salary cap in baseball, we do know that competitive balance tax is pretty much the payroll that Dana Brown has to answer to. And whenever we see the Astros spend $20 million, we want that $20 million to be invested wisely instead of poorly, because that $20 million is coming from a payroll that is probably operating as your salary cap.
Yeah, no, I think absolutely. You know, everybody always thinks that the money grows on trees and that, you know, it's just free spending no matter what. And you just have to be realistic. I thought that when you brought up, you know, when we were talking about the offseason plans, what they were trying to do, and people just get a false idea of how much money they actually have to play with and how important it is, even for an owner like Crane, knowing that he's not operating in a market like L.A. or New York or even Chicago to a lesser degree, to where they are going to be very conscious of that line in the sand. And they're not trying to cross it unless he legitimately knows he's got a World Series contender and he's getting a guy that could be a big difference maker.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Few texts from the Hive. Huge Bregman fan. It's aggravating that contracts become a soap opera. Either pay the man or let him go. Well, yeah, that's what their options are. As a fan, I'm tired of HR telling us one thing, and a few weeks later, the complete opposite happens. It's hard to stay faithful to the Astros when we continue to play games with our athletes. I mean, it's a business.
It is, from both sides.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. That's a lot in that text. Can Jordan go to arbitration? Is that only during certain contracts? So a player in Major League Baseball, whenever they get called up to the big leagues, has basically 3 years of the league minimum. Then they have 3 years where they can go into arbitration. There's some cases where, like, Super 2 guys can get to arbitration earlier. They've added in the provisions, like, if you're top whatever and rookie of the year, you can get to arbitration sooner. But the standard baseball player contract, when they get called up, 3 years of league minimum, auto reserve, and then 3 years of arbitration. Now, when Jordan Alvarez signed his contract, it bought out his arbitration years and a few of his free agent years. So, no, Jordan cannot go to arbitration. The moment that he signed that contract, it bought out those arbitration years and it bought out the free agent years. Problem is, I don't trust Dana to run the rebuild, Paul and Westview. See, I trust Dana, actually. I don't trust Crane and Bagwell. If they let Dana do his thing, I think Dana would be fine.
Yeah, I agree. And I would hope we're going to get there if we're not there yet because of the missteps that we've seen from the Crane gang. I just can't be convinced and sure that's true, because we know that we've got an owner with this team that likes to be hands-on and likes to, in the past, treat it like a fantasy baseball team sometimes. And he kind of thinks that he's as smart as anybody in the room when it comes to baseball. And that's a scary, scary thing to deal with when you have a team that's been as talented and successful as this team, but any team for that matter.
I think Crane and Bagwell are very rudimentary. Like when you look at these really shrewd front offices, they're cutting edge, they're innovative, they think outside the box, like Jeff Luhnow. Luhnow was like that. James Click was like that. And in the moment that Click was gone, this front office has become very rudimentary. I think Danner Brown would be good. I think Danner Brown would be fine leading the charge. They have to let him do that. And I'm hoping that they do. I'm hoping that they are. Like, I haven't really seen evidence yet that that's not the case. And I think whenever they released Abreu, that it might have symbolized that too, actually.
Maybe the fact that, look, they had, at a certain point, they had to realize, look in the mirror and realize, this wasn't them, this was us. And what we did and the moves we tried to make backfired pretty drastically and in a negative way. And that at a certain point, whether you're going to completely be hands-off forever or you just need to step back for a while, they knew that they had to get their hands out of the cookie jar and let other, you know, let the proper people do their thing. Because the other thing that we know seemingly is Bagwell has obviously been always anti-analytics. But whether it's part of it or maybe a bigger part of it, Crane doesn't seem to be on board with the overly analytical approach to his general managers. And Dusty wasn't big on the analytics. So I just think that Crane got a lot of influence with those other guys and with his own kind of way of thinking to where that's not the way baseball's going, and that's not where we've seen success with baseball in current day in its current day form.
Yeah, Texture, please help me understand why everyone thinks a player over 30 that just had surgery in his throwing arm is going to get a max contract. No max contracts in baseball. We understand what you're asking. I'm with you. I'm anti-signing Bregman, so you're preaching to the choir there.
But you know why? Because of the fact that you've got multiple teams that are going to be in on him, and the majority of those teams have deep pockets.
Yep. Do you think Tucker will ask for half of what Soto got? Yeah, I do. I think the Tucker's going to make – I think Tucker's going to be close to $400 million.
I was going to say 350 plus.
Depending on the year he has, I think he can flirt with $400 million. So, yeah, half. Because he got, what, Soto got $785? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, $400 would be well over half. Yeah, I think the Tucker could get over half of Soto, which is crazy to think that. That Kyle Tucker, one of the best five-corner outfielders in all of baseball, is going to get half of what mm-hmm. Juan Soto got. Tucker and Bregy are gone. Tucker for sure, I think. Now, just to me, it's not a matter of when, or it's not a matter if Tucker leaves. It's a matter of when he leaves. Is it this offseason or is it next offseason? Bregy, I'm still on the fence with Bregy.
No, I think that there still is a chance, but I think that the percentages have gone down in terms of him coming back here, simply because of the fact that the Red Sox are involved now and they want to spend money. And whenever you have the Yankees in the discussion, you know it's going to be about top dollar money-wise, or at least there's going to be really good money thrown his way. Toronto, I'm not so sold on. I'm curious how much Toronto's really going to spend because of the fact that they don't seem to want to keep the guys that they have had that they could continue to build with and around, like Vlad Guerrero Jr. and some of the other guys that they've got. But I think that when you've got multiple players battling for your services and the price is going to go up and they're in markets with money that shows that they're willing to compete, it's not a good proposition if you're an Astros fan. And I don't know that that's a bad thing, because it might actually do what you seemingly don't want to have to face doing.
Yeah,
which might walk away from it.
Take it out of your hands.
Yes.
Take the decision out of your hands and what very well could be a wise decision and a good decision. Is it weird to you how much Dana and Espada have talked about Bregman, priority one, he loves it here, we love him? Like, this is an open negotiation. Like, yeah. Is it weird to you how open they've been about that?
It's bothersome. It's weird and it's bothersome because of the fact that even from before we got to this point, before the season was even over and we were talking about that exclusive negotiating period and all those other things, that it seemed like that they were giving you too much. It was like Dana had more diarrhea of the mouth than normal. And it's like, look, no matter what in negotiation sessions, whether you have a good relationship with the guys on the other side of the table or not, you normally keep your cards pretty close to the vest, and you're really not going to give anything more than you absolutely have to the other side that they could possibly use against you to try and get substantially more. And I think that that's what bothers me the most, that I understand playing the media as a pawn to say, look, we're doing everything we can. We're making every offer. We're doing it so that, you know, we really think and we're optimistic we can bring him back, so that it looks like, and the perception is, man, they definitely didn't shy away from this thing. They definitely just didn't let him walk. But at the end of the day, if they're this forthcoming with this amount of emotion and passion towards bringing him back, it kind of gives me the vibe that they're just doing this to protect themselves when it doesn't go their way.
Yeah, I think it's definitely plausible. I feel like Dana Brown talks a lot in general, right? Like he's mm-hmm. he's loose-lipped, and I think that they feel confident they're going to bring him back. Like I feel like they've been told by Bregman and Boers that he wants to be in Houston, and that the way that they're speaking, I get that sense, and it's all about like dotting the I's, crossing the T's, seeing what the market's saying, and then eventually paying him what the market is saying. I hope I'm wrong on that, and it might be perception, because I do think that they play that perception game from time to time, especially Crane.
Yes.
I think Crane did it with Correa, and then it came out what the numbers were, and it's like, okay, well that was not like, he was never signing that. I think he did it with James Click. Okay, he was never signing a one-year deal after being a general manager that won the World Series. So I do think that Crane definitely does that, and then I also think that Dana Brown talks a lot, which has been proven. That's evident.
Yeah, the Correa thing was the main one I was going to bring up, too, where they have constantly tried to position it so that they can bail themselves out of taking the blame when the player doesn't end up here. They've done this in the past to try and use the media to their advantage to say, hey, we gave it a go. We were in it. We were trying our best. We really wanted him back. But at the end of the day, they knew in their heart of hearts they weren't going to be able to compete with what he was going to get from other teams.
Here was Dana Brown on Luis Garcia, because Lance McCullers isn't the only injured pitcher that was supposed to return in the summer last year and then didn't. Luis Garcia was also that guy. And remember, Luis Garcia pitched in some rehab games too, by the way. Here was Dana Brown on Luis Garcia's latest.
Luis, you know, once he continues to stretch it out, once he gets off the mound, we'll probably know more about that in spring training when he starts to throw and stretch it out and compete against some batters. So in terms of him making it out for opening day, we'll have more answers maybe right around in mid-March.
Okay. Like, I understand not wanting to put a timeline on it, and I'm sure he's throwing. It's just he's talking about pitching. How is a guy who was supposed to be back in July and started his rehab assignment in the summer this far away?
That's what I was going to ask. Like, what have you been doing, sitting on your ass eating popcorn and watching soap operas? Like, I understand that you don't have to, you know, you're for regular players, it's not time to ramp up until you get closer to pitchers and catchers reporting. But because of the fact that you were supposed to contribute at some point last season and then had to shut it down, you would think that there was a grace period to shut it down, and then it would be, let's start seeing where we are again. Otherwise, do we need more medical attention to try and rectify a problem if it literally is deeper? That to me is bothersome.
Yeah, it's curious. Like he was pitching in games, in minor league games.
Yes.
They started the clock on him. He was pitching in rehab. They started the clock, and for a pitcher, whenever you start the clock, they have 30 days. So you started the clock. So whenever you start the clock, you think he's going to be in the bigs in 30 days. That was in the summer, and he's not committal about if he's on the opening day roster. That's nuts.
No, and that's the thing. And then again, because of the fact that we've been there and done this with Lance McCullers, the minute he gets shut down, the thought is, oh, here we go again. And now, because we're dealing with this type of scenario, which with the quote he just said gave us, it feels like, oh, God, here we go again. Whether he needs a second surgery or there's something else that has to be done because it didn't go right the first time, I'm not going to hold my breath. I'm not going to expect that Luis Garcia is going to be ready for opening day. And I'm not going to count on him and pencil him into anything until I see him pitch a couple games.
That was in June. Like, he was pitching in rehab games in June. And then whenever he was asked if he suffered a setback, he said that it was not a setback. He said you couldn't call it a setback with what happened with Luis Garcia. He was pitching in June, and then you don't know if he's going to be pitching this April? And you're telling me that's not a setback? Yeah, that's a setback.
Shutting him down, having to shut him down, seems like that screams setback, because he was progressing. As you mentioned, he was pitching in minor league games. He was working towards getting back to the big league level by throwing, and now suddenly you're shutting him down? That doesn't seem like progress to me.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Weird deal there. All right, what is the Texans' strength? D'Amico Ryans was talking about their identity. What is that? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from our good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville is the best in the business at the Neograph procedure. If you don't know what it is, but you're experiencing pattern baldness, you've lost your hair, you don't think there's any way you can get it back, you don't feel like trying all the gimmicky sprays and creams and foams, I'm here to tell you that the Neograph procedure works. Doc Linville is here in the medical center, and he's the best in the business, and he wants to help you too. He wants to help Houstonians. He listens to the station all the time. He's been a loyal supporter of ours forever. And he came to us a while back, and he sat down, and we had a couple meetings, and we had dinner, and he said, look, I'm not trying to get rich off of this. I do enough things, and I have enough procedures and other things that I do as a doctor. But this is one where I think everybody, if they knew how effective it was and how good it works, it could be a game changer to get people to feel good about getting their hair back because it's their own hair. And so I was really interested. And then when he and I had a consultation and he told me how he could help me, I was extremely interested. When he walked through all the bullet points of the procedures, the PRP treatments, the actual Neograph procedure, and the fact that it's your own hair taken from a place where you're never going to lose it, the sides in the back of your head, putting it where you needed it most. In my case, it was my hairline in front. I was in. And boy, am I glad I did it, because it works. The hair is there. It's staying because he's taken it from a place where it's never going away. And the fact that it takes 6 to 9 months for the hair to truly get settled in, the follicles to actually really root themselves, and then to kind of get thicker and stronger. But once they're there, they're going to stay there, and it is a game changer for anyone. You get a free consultation like I had with Doc and his staff because you're listening to me right now. People off the street pay $150. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com, sign up for a consultation. It's free of charge. You don't sign on the dotted line, no money out of pocket or commitment to be made, just a question and answer session after they explain to you the different procedures and how they could affect your specific situation. I'm telling you, he's the best in the business, and you are going to love dealing with him and his staff. They're friendly, they're top of the line, their technology and their advancement is fantastic, and they get you results, which is the main thing at the end of the day. Check them out. Tell them I sent you by. Go to 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We'll get to the Texans' identity in a minute. 713-780-ESPN. Looks like there's some legs to this Bill Belichick to North Carolina thing.
A 400-page document that of all of his demands is, I guess, involved in this?
I don't think it was so much demands. I think it was more his plan. Like, this is how I'm going to run the program. Maybe there were some demands in it, but I don't think it was a 400-page demand letter. I think it was more, this is how this program is going to be run.
Well, the report said 400-page, basically, and it's probably a combination of, like, how big his staff had to be and all the different kind of...
Well, I think that's regulated by the NCAA, like how big the staff can be.
It kind of is, but from what I had heard, some of the interviews that I heard, was the fact that there isn't the kind of limitations where you can have your... You know, a certain coaching staff was a good number, and then the support staff around that was a separate number that could be, I don't think, was regulated as severely. But then it was his son's going to be the coach in waiting, and you know, there was a lot of, as he had said when he was on McAfee, about making this kind of like a pre-NFL situation, to where from the nutrition to the training to the equipment to everything, the resources, that this was going to be like, he would run it like a pre-NFL situation.
Yeah, it sounds more like a plan than a demand, though. Ollie Connolly, who broke this, he's kind of hedging on it, but he said Belichick has agreed to become the next UNC coach. Belichick handed the school a 400-page organizational Bible with structure, payment plans, staffing choices, decisions on whether to commit to UNC. He's expected to know their decision within 24 hours. So it's kind of like, okay, well, this is how we're going to run the program. It's your choice to decide. Belichick's Bible would require historic levels of investment, so it speaks to the demand, including salary minimums, position by position, and a willingness to hire two staffs. This is what you're talking about. A coaching staff run by Belichick, a recruitment staff run by a sitting college GM who would require a buyout. That's not that unusual, actually, nowadays in college football. football. Belichick is a college and pro version of his updated manual and has shared it with other schools and NFL teams, but he drafted a new one specific to North Carolina that touched on every aspect of the program and school. We'll need sign off from the AD, chancellor, trustees, and boosters. And then the guy who tweeted this, reported it, also says there has already been pushback from the group of 13 trustees, which input with input from wider faculty. The investment would overhaul the school's approach to football. Belichick unsure if the school will meet the demands and is unwilling to negotiate. So it does speak more to demand than, I guess, the structure. But I'm sure there was some of that, too.
I just think at the end of the day that he's going to end up looking at the NFL where there's
But what if they don't want him, though?
Well, that's true. You have to have the opportunity. You have to have offers or an offer. But I just believe that he's still going to get one more look in the NFL. And we know he's chasing the all-time record as well. That might motivate him as well. My curiosity from a Carolina standpoint is because it's not one of those true, like, blue-blood football programs, but it's a really solid athletic department that MJ gets involved. And with all of his money, I wonder if he's one of those trustees, because I would think that he would want a Bill Belichick type. I just don't know if he'd back it financially.
I don't think that Jordan's one of the trustees. Like, we could look up – I mean, that information's public. I feel like we would know if Michael Jordan was sitting on the board of trustees.
Whether it be booster, trustee, however, I would wonder if Michael would throw money at it because he'd really love to see Belichick there.
Yeah, I wonder if he would too. Like, I don't know if they have a relationship. Like, I have no clue. But that would be interesting. It doesn't make a ton of sense for me. Like, North Carolina just got rid of an old head coach. Mm-hmm. Like, so the fact that they just got rid of an old head coach makes me think they wouldn't want another old head coach, but I guess not. Texter, Belichick wasting his time. Another texter saying that, why does the hoodie not want to keep building in his NFL legacy? That goes back to the, well, if he doesn't have a job. And there was reports that were saying that he was surprised by the lack of interest from the NFL. Like, earlier, well, I guess it was last week, I guess. But maybe he gets the sense that the NFL isn't going to come calling. I also think that there is part of it where he wants to hook up his son.
Like, oh, for sure.
I think that he's willing to trade the record of the most all-time wins if he can make his son the head coach in waiting at a pretty good program.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. It wouldn't be the first time. I mean, I think Kelvin's done it with U of H. With his son, and the fact is that you want the best for your siblings. And look, it's not like he's got no experience in the coaching game. He's at University of Washington now. He was on his staff with the Patriots, and that's not far-fetched to think that he would like that. I just think that the NCAA and just how everything, just all the different regulations and rules and things that you don't have to deal with when you're a pro coach. If there is another opportunity for him in the NFL, I would think that's the direction he would like to go first. And if you lock into this before you even know what's out there and who's willing to talk to you, are you limiting yourself or eliminating yourself from the chance to get back in the league?
Yeah, I tend to agree that the NFL would be the thing that he wants the most. But him being this far down the road with North Carolina makes me wonder if maybe there's nothing in the NFL for
him. Well, to your point, too, the crazy thing is Arthur Blank is an old school owner that would be more enamored with the name Belichick and what he had done. And then they had, what, multiple interviews with him. And at a certain point, they got soured on the whole thing of his control and what he wanted and what had, you know, whatever had transpired in the interviews. And they basically pulled away from him.
Yeah, that was a weird deal. Because, like, remember they had, like, you know, 15 people, like, that are higher ups with the Falcons. They're like, no, don't hire Belichick, Mr. Blank. Don't hire Belichick. And then they didn't. So, yeah, it's kind of weird. D'Amico Ryans was talking yesterday to the media, and he was asked the question, you know, coming off the bye, you know, what are areas you're trying to get better? What is your identity? All of that. Here was D'Amico's answer on what is the Texans' identity.
You know, each year your team kind of morphs into you have an idea of how you want to play, but you kind of see, like, okay, who are we at this point, right? And, you know, we got a really good feel for who we are, and we just have to continue to lean on who we are. Make sure we accentuate the strengths of our team and continue to lean heavy in those areas of our strength.
All right, what are their strengths? Who are they?
So he wasn't going to say who we are? We just know who we are?
I think he answered a later question talking about how we want to be very physical, which, hey, look, head coach wants his team to be physical. But what do you think that their identity is? Like, if you were running the team and you've seen their play, you know their personnel, what would you say is the Texans' strength?
I think they're a defensive football team first and foremost. I think their defense has a lot of talent on it. It has the ability to do a lot of things to alter and affect the game. And I think that as much as I didn't think that at the start of the year, I think that their identity is that they can play defense very, very well across this league, no matter who they're facing and what style of play they're going up against. And then from an offensive perspective, I firmly thought at the start of the year this was going to be a passing team, and this was going to be a team that could throw it all over the field with success. And it seems to me like this team goes as Joe Mixon goes, and because of the fact that Kenyon Green can't pass block to save his life, but when he was out there and he was run blocking, this team had even more success from a running perspective. I would say that they're a running football team that plays good defense.
If they're a running team that plays good defense, should they play the left guard that gives them better run blocking?
Yeah, at a certain point, you still have to pass, and I don't want CJ getting killed. So I'm going to say right now, because of what he's shown, no.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I don't want to play him either. It's just, like, if you're a run-first team, I wonder if you do that with your offensive line. I think that they're a team built around defense, and I think that I think that's their strength. Like, I'm not really looking at the offense and seeing a whole lot of strength. I do think Mixon is good, but I don't think that they really are built to be a run-first team, and I'm not sure they can go far in the playoffs if they just, like, okay, we're going to just be overly committed to the run. So I would say defense for sure is their identity, and then trying to win games based off that defense. I think that in a perfect world, it would be a strong defense and an opportunistic offense, that they are really good when they need to be really good. Like, you hear these coaches talk about complimentary football all the time. Like, maybe they don't have a top 10 offense, but maybe whenever they absolutely need a score, they get it. Kind of like Kansas City, and I compare the two. But Kansas City's offense doesn't rank amongst the best in the NFL. Their defense ranks higher than their offense. But what does their offense do when they absolutely have to have it? It's clockwork. Like, they get it done. I think that's what D'Amico would like, but nothing gives me that confidence offensively. I do believe in their defense, that they're good. I believe their defense is good. I don't believe that their defense is, like, going to carry them to a Super Bowl run. Let's be very clear on that. So I would agree with you. Their strength is their defense and the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I think that until further notice, it's not exactly what I had as the blueprint for what this season was going to look like and what their strengths were going to be on both sides of the football. But it is what it is at this point. To his point, now you just got to try and be as good as you can and accentuate those things that you're best at while trying to improve on those things that you're not. And pass blocking and the ability to give CJ enough time to throw the football would be paramount if this team is truly going to do something once they get to the postseason.
Let's cash them or trash them. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-ESPN. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I'm cashing HR&P. If you're a business owner, I'm cashing that you need HR&P in your life. Human resources and payroll, Cougar owned by my colleague, O Cougs. Business owners, let HR&P help you, whether it's HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding. HR&P can help in one of those areas. They can help in all of those areas. That way you can spend the time in the areas you want to spend time with. There's no boxes with HR&P. Doesn't matter how small the job, how big the job, HR&P is going to completely customize a plan for what you and your business need. You have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little off your plate, a lot off your plate, HR&P is going to find a way to help you. And they do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best tech. You'll love that. But you're going to fall in love with their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll be talking to someone who knows you. They know your business needs. Look, I'm just an employee of an employer who uses HR&P, and they treat me with all sorts of love anytime I have a question. So very thankful for that. Make it part of your New Year's resolution if you're a business owner. How can I make life easier for me? It's simple. It's HR&P. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HR&P customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or online at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
ESPN
97.5.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's cash 'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Cash 'em or trash 'em with the bees. 713-780-ESPN. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? Blankers, what you got?
Ryan Day, if he doesn't win the national championship, will be fired by Ohio State.
I'll trash it.
Trash.
I don't think it's out of play that he can be fired. But I think it would have to take something embarrassing for him to get fired. And if they lost, like, in the championship game, I don't think that's embarrassing enough to get fired. I think if they play well in a semifinal, he doesn't get fired. So, and he's making tons of money. Not that that matters to Ohio State. But, yeah, I'll trash this. I think Ryan Day will be back in Columbus.
Yeah, I think him getting fired after the playoffs in play, but I don't think it's win the title or you're gone. I think it's Tennessee blows you out, then you get fired. Like, I don't even know if just losing to Tennessee would be good enough to get fired, but certainly if Tennessee were to blow him out, I do think that costs him his job. But if he wins a game or two but falls short of the title, I think he's back. So I'll go ahead and trash him as well.
Trash.
Who would take over?
Well, I'll tell you what, there'd be a line.
Vrabel?
Vrabel's a good one.
That's a good call.
I like
call.
The idea of Vrabel.
Yeah,
I saw
like
somebody
that
mention that the other day. I saw some people like wanting Deion in Columbus.
I don't know if I could see that.
Maybe Tom Herman?
No. I could see Herman as an analyst on Ryan Day's staff, and that's about it. I think Deion would be good anywhere.
I mean, he knows how to play the game. He can, and he can market the hell out of his team, too.
Yeah, and I think Deion would be good. I think Deion's going to stay at Colorado. Just kind of accidentally got into a cash or trash. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think Deion's going to stay in Boulder. I think he's building something that he really likes there. I don't think he necessarily cares for the NFL, per se. I think he's going to stay in Colorado. Cash or trash?
I said it. I'll stick with it. I think he's gone. I think he once his kids are gone, I think that he'll be looking for greener pastures and other opportunities.
What do you think, Brian?
He's talking right now.
You don't want to play along with our cash or trash to see if Deion Sanders would stay in Boulder?
He was talking. He didn't hear any of that.
That they have a recruiting class coming in there too. Not that it's ever stopped a coach from leaving, but yeah, I like what Herman has done. I got another one too. Cash or trash, 713-780 ESPN. Juan Soto will never hit 40 home runs in a season again.
Ooh, I'm gonna trash it. I think that he still will have at least one more season where he gets home run happy. But I firmly believe that was a massive mistake and reach by the Mets. But I still think he'll have at least one more 40 home run season.
He's been in the bigs for 7 years. He's only had one 40 home run year, and it was 41, and it took a short portion right. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Yeah, I would. I think I'm going to cash this because the Mets ballpark is, I think it tends to be a pitcher's ballpark. I'm looking up the ballpark factors. 22nd, so not exactly the short porch that he got at Yankee Stadium. And as Jeremy mentioned, only once in his career has he done it. So, it's 15 years is a long time just to have one. But I'll go ahead and cash it. The Mets ballpark's a pitcher's park.
They can change that.
They could, and they have motivation.
That's exactly right. They
reasons
can change
to
that.
Do so, but
you know one thing that works against him in this though is that he walks a lot. But he is incredibly patient, and the fact that he walks so much—if you're walking, it means you're not hitting dongs, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't think he ever hits.
I don't think he ever gets to 40 or more ever again. Brian, what's your cash and retraction?
All right, this might be controversial and viewed as a bit crazy, but I had this thought, and it's funny because Joel brought up the whole pump block thing in the first segment. It's kind of along those lines. I would make a rule change, basically model it after what happens with the catch, just like a regular pass and catch and on an offensive play, where on a punt or a kickoff, the ball's not actually, and if it just grazes off your jersey, it's not a live ball for people to run after. To me, the play is over. If you don't catch it, the play is over at that spot and you move on. I don't understand why we protect possession when the quarterback throws the ball to the receiver and is dropped and hits the ground. But when you kick it to the guy, he's still got to catch it. It's a catch either way. You're either catching a pass from the quarterback or you're catching the punt from the punter. Why that is treated differently than it is from a quarterback to a receiver. So I would eliminate what we saw last night, the whole idea of, well, it glanced off your forearm, so now it's a live ball and your team loses.
I mean, I'm going to trash it simply because I don't think there's anything wrong with the rule, and you don't have to.
Trash.
There's not the same kind of rules in place for, like, the completion of a catch, of a passed football, to where I'm
well, that's kind of my point. Like if you throw it to the receiver, he's got to catch it, he's got to maintain control, he's got to bring it to his body, he's got to make a move. We have all these myriad of things a receiver has to do to actually complete the process of a catch. But on a punt return, if it just grazes off your leg or your forearm, all of a sudden it's a live ball. It doesn't make sense to me.
If a punt returner drops a kick, is it incomplete?
You get the ball at that spot.
Let me talk about current.
No, I'm not talking.
No, he was asking my hypothetical situation. In my hypothetical situation, I would make the rule where, like, if the punter drops it, it's just the team's ball at the spot.
Yeah, I'm gonna trash.
Oh, you're talking about on the
trash,
snap, like on the snap getting to the punter. If he drops it, it's just there.
No. Like once the punter has punted it, if the punt returner doesn't field it cleanly, it bounces off his leg, right, whatever. Then the ball is dead at that spot for the returning team.
I hate this rule so much.
I told you it's going to be controversial.
I don't understand how a quarterback throwing a ball has anything to do with a kicker or a punter kicking a ball.
I just don't understand why we treat two things that are both catches differently.
Well, one's with a throwing with a hand, and the other one's being kicked with a foot.
Yeah,
let's
why?
Start there.
Why is that different? The guy either way is having to catch the ball in the air,
and you're also kicking it to the opponent. Like you're also kicking it to the opponent. It's like the reward is that you can return the punt, but the penalty is that if you don't catch it cleanly, it's now a live ball. Like, I think that would be too...
I think it's too punitive.
Yeah. I think that... I feel like it wouldn't be punitive enough if you muff a punt and then the ball is just dead there. I feel like that would be way too advantageous to the kicking team. Or to the return team, rather. To the return team. Like, if you don't want to muff the ball, get out of the way. Don't even try to catch it. Like, you have that option. You have that choice. So, yeah, I'll trash that one.
Trash.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Joshua, what's your cash or trash, Joshua?
My cash or trash is that the Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl contention is now possibly compromised amidst the locker room drama with A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts.
I'll trash it.
Trash.
You still have Saquon Barkley. You've won, I think, up like 6 or 7 games in a row. I mean, they've been on a roll. I don't think that this is enough to blow it up. They definitely need to have a couple of internal meetings, but I don't think it's going to derail anything.
I'm gonna cash this one, Joshua. You have your best receiver griping about not getting the ball when your team is rolling. Like, this stuff doesn't usually end well. And in fact, if I'm the Eagles, I'm getting rid of A.J. Brown in the offseason. Like, my offense is not dependent on A.J. Brown anymore. My offense is dependent on Saquon Barkley. And if my wide receiver's beefing with a quarterback, it's a pretty good quarterback. We can argue how good he is. But Jalen Hurts is more important to that football team than A.J. Brown is. I would be shipping him out of town. I would shop A.J. Brown in the offseason and just, hey, Jalen Hurts, we got your back. This is a team that's best offensive player is Saquon Barkley. I'm gonna cash this one from caller Joshua.
I'm gonna cash it, but for a slightly different reason. I just don't view their passing. I mean, that game, this last game where Brown was mad, they passed for like 100 yards. I just don't think their passing game is good enough for whatever reason to compete with the Lions, the Bills, and the Chiefs. I think they're a clear, at best, fourth best team, and I don't think they can win a Super Bowl right now. It's currently constructed.
Okay. NFC Championship worthy?
I don't think they can beat the Lions, though.
Yeah. I mean, they're a good team. It was funny, though. Donovan McNabb was, like, talking about this, and then Terrell Owens quote tweeted him. He's like, you're one to talk, which it was funny. Like, we saw the whole T.O. and Donovan McNabb drama, like, recycled all these years later. Brandon T., cash or trash. The Rockets will finally get over the losing streak to the Warriors and beat them Wednesday night in the NIT.
I am going to cash this. I think that this means something to them. This gives them even extra motivation. They are at home. They know there's that streak as well. And I just feel like they're going to get off the schneid.
Yeah, I'm really hopeful because I love the NIT. And I really want the Rockets to compete in the NIT. Bring a banner home so we can schedule the parade. I'm going to cash it. I think the Rockets were taking it easy on Golden State. They didn't want to show them all their game plan when they played them the other day, knowing they were going to play them in the NIT. They were they didn't give them their best shot. They're going to win tomorrow.
Yeah, make unanimous. I think the Rockets win as well. They got a little preview, maybe got a little mad. Heard it from Udoka in the locker room afterwards. He probably called him soft a few times. I think he's going to be fired up for this game.
Fired up. Another cash or trash. Bregman, Tucker, and Fromber were the Astros in 2025. Cash or trash?
Trash it. I think they're trading at least one.
Trash.
I'm going to cash it. I think that they re-sign Bregman, and I don't think they have the cojones to actually trade Tucker or Fromber. And I don't like it because I don't want to re-sign Bregman, and I want to trade Tucker and Fromber. So this would be 0-3 on what I want, but it's what I think, and I do think that they re-sign Bregman, and I don't think they trade Tucker or Fromber.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like this version of the Astros front office operates with a lot of boldness. And this would be bold to let Bregman walk and then trade away Fromber and Tucker and try to sell to the fans that they're not taking a step back. I don't think they have the cojones, as Jeremy said, to do this.
Yeah, they don't. Brian, you're getting crushed for your cast.
I told you it's going to be crazy and controversial. I stand by it.
The Twitch is they're roasting
what? Twitch
you.
Hates me? What?
Yeah,
are you kidding?
Twitch hates you.
I can't believe it.
Shocking.
I can't believe it.
Texture, Bad Take Boulevard for Brian's take on catching kickoffs.
Well, thankfully, I won't be on the show on Thursday, so
another one
I won't have to take the heat.
BMAC just made Bad Take Boulevard, just bought a mansion.
Hey, if I get a mansion, like I'll live there. I don't care.
I will say something about that take, Brian. It was innovative. I have never heard anything like that. Anything like that.
You're welcome.
Who's in your doghouse this week? 713-780-ESPN. Doghouse with the Bees. 713-780-3776. We are the Bees. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Look, we're about 2 weeks away from Christmas, 2 weeks and change. If you're still looking for a gift idea, I got a great one for you. How about a goal from Pro Dunk? They make the highest quality basketball goals you'll find, unlike anything in the big box stores. Those are cheap. Those are usually broken in a couple of months. You don't want those. You want a goal from Pro Dunk. Tempered glass backboard, breakaway rims, stainless steel hardware. It's rust-proof, which is a must-have in Houston. It's also height-adjustable. You want to throw down some jams? We'll lower it down. It goes all the way down to 5 feet. Your kids can throw down some jams. If you want the regulation, you're working on your shot, kid working on their game, we'll raise it up to 10 feet. Their new goal, Thor, you can raise and lower the goals with a drill, too. It's called their lightning adjust feature, anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. Easy to do, fun to do. Their accessories, next level as well. LED light kits for night play. It gets dark early, you work late, kids are in school, you can only play at night, get some LED light kits. Simple solution. Backstop nets, you don't want to chase the ball. I get it. Get the backstop nets. Pull pad lettering to customize your goal as well. You can order everything, including professional installation online as well. You don't want to mess with the ladder, you don't want to take out the level or the drill. I get it. Let the pros at Pro Dunk professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. They're going to ace it. You might screw it up. They will not. You don't install. Let the pros at Pro Dunk do that work for you. Give them a call at 281-351-9822, 281-351-9822, and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
ESPN
97.5.
Listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
In your doghouse, 713-780-ESPN, HRP, listener line 713-780-3776. The Yankees might be in some Braves fans' doghouse. Max Fried is a New York Yankee, according to Jeff Passan. 8-year, $218 million deal, which Passan says is the largest guarantee in baseball history for a left-handed pitcher. That just doesn't feel right. Like, I'm sure he's right. It's Jeff Passan. But can you believe that? That Max Fried got the biggest guarantee for a left-handed pitcher ever?
That's
Max
crazy.
Fried?
I thought it would have been Kershaw. Like, yeah. If you had asked me just, like, hey, who has the biggest guarantee? I mean, I know Kershaw's largest contracts are removed for a few years now, but I would have thought it was Kershaw. Or Randy Johnson, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, Johnson was just too long ago.
Yeah,
the money's
so.
Just changed so dramatically. But yeah, oh. you would think in the last couple of years, was there not a lefty that...
Kershaw's biggest was 7 years, 215. So it was a year less and $3 million less.
Oh, so barely.
More AAV,
okay.
But less guarantee. Which was technically true. I just can't believe that Fried is the
years,
highest paid. He's how old is Fried? He's 31, too.
Yeah, about 31, yeah.
And didn't he have arm problems?
He missed a good 10 starts last year. Yeah, I don't remember what the exact injury was, but I know he missed at least around 8 to 10 starts.
That's risky, 8 years.
Woo. Yeah, he'll be 31 next year. That's
about
long.
3 years too long for me.
Yeah, that's a risk.
5 years too long for me. All right. Enough Fried news. Who's in your doghouse? 713-780-3776. Blankers, aside from King of Twitch, who's in your doghouse?
A.J. Brown, Brandon Graham, and all of the Eagles that we were talking about. Like, You're winning football games, yet your press conference, you call out passing in one word, saying what's wrong with this team. So you're taking shots at your quarterback. And then Brandon Graham has a, you know, because everybody's got a podcast, just decides to just start airing it all out when everything should have been kept internal, and then started walking it back, going, I'll probably apologize to both those guys. I probably should. Yeah, you probably should have done that before you opened your trap on your podcast. But that is a bleep show that didn't have to be because of both of those guys.
Yeah, this is a weird deal. Everybody asking for, like, players and coaches and general managers to give them more information and to be more transparent and all that stuff. Yeah, it's high drama and it's very, very fun, but this is exactly why they don't do it. Like, because it's not helpful in any way. There is no reward for the risk. And look, I think that, I mean, they're all grown-ups. They could probably, I don't even know, man.
They're supposed to be great friends. Jaylen Brown is, I believe, A.J. Brown's kid's godfather. Like, you can't sit down in a room and go, bro, let's just talk this out. Let's hash it out. Instead of just airing it out in the media.
You mean Jalen Hurts?
Jalen Hurts, yes.
Okay.
Not Jaylen Brown. Yes. Jalen Hurts is the godfather to A.J. Brown's kid, I believe. And they used to be best friends, but as Brandon Graham said, that's all changed now.
A.J. Brown was throwing him under the bus last year, too, remember?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Like, I told you last segment, if I'm the Eagles, I'm moving on to AJ Brown.
Yeah, I'm not screwing around with this for more than just the rest of this season. And if he's not going to change and this is what he's going to be, then I'm moving on from him as easily as I can.
You know, even if he doesn't say that publicly, though, it's still a problem internally. Like, maybe we don't have as much information, but it's still there. I'm a first person that, I guess it's not a person, it's more of an entity in a group. NFL refs calling penalties on clear, hard hits. I'm so sick of the NFL. I'm sick of penalizing clean, hard hits. What are we watching? It's the wussification of sports, and I cannot stand the wussification in sports. Josh Allen got hit inbounds the other day. Here's a flag. Wussification of sports. Quentin Johnston got hit clean and legally over the middle of the field. There's a flag. Wussification of sports. I am sick and tired of seeing the wussification of sports in a violent league known as the NFL.
We were talking about this earlier as it related to the Burrow getting face masked and not called, but this one, more so like the college game, if that's going to be because it's so quick and at game speed it happens so fast, that should be one where the officials can make the call but then can use replay to see if they got it right and then adjust accordingly if they didn't, because that is such a bang-bang play, and because directions are changing in the air, I would like to see them try and at least take that part of the college rule and say it's under further review.
Yeah, I hate it. Wussification of sports. I'm not here for it. Brian, who's in your doghouse?
Contractors. I think that's pretty universal for almost everyone listening and people here in this room, that we've all had bad experiences with contractors. And for me, I'm trying to get part of my driveway fixed. And so I went through Angie to help get it fixed. And Angie was actually pretty helpful in this, so this is not calling out them. But they have this thing where you can book someone, like, basically put in all the details of what you need done, and they'll book someone for you for an agreed-upon price, and then you have to pay extra for the materials depending on what the job needs. So I did that, and the contractor comes back and says, yeah, I know you paid Angie the whatever I paid, but I'm actually going to need amount double what you paid for that for just the labor plus all the materials. Like, bro, what are you talking about?
Are you on the hook to pay Angie regardless?
I was worried about that because there's like a 24-hour. This is supposed to happen. This job was supposed to happen yesterday. Never did. But I was worried because of the 24-hour cancellation policy. Because he didn't tell me this material or this labor cost being double until the day of, that I was going to be stuck on the bill and then basically kind of hijacked them. But thankfully, Angie helped me out and let me back out of it and go somewhere else. But yeah, just... Ah, man, everyone, I think, has had a bad experience with contractors and kind of going back on the word or doing something shady. And
oh, yeah.
I had that hit me pretty hard yesterday.
That's the worst thing, especially as it relates to, like, home warranty companies, too. Because when they assign the company's already coming in with an attitude because they know that you're getting off on the cheap from what they'd like to charge you.
Sure.
So then they actually use lesser than parts and or try to bump up the price or both.
I'll do it for half of the price and a quarter of the job. You in?
No. Right. I need the whole job done. Final. I need the whole job done.
You'll have another one?
I do.
Go for it.
Al Michaels. Al Dang. Michaels, Collinsworth.
Come on now. He's a legend.
Come on. He used to be a legend, right? He's way past.
No, he's still a legend.
I understand his legend will always be what he's done in the past. But Collinsworth goes on with the Manning cast last night and says, because they were asking him about why he always does that slide in.
Yeah.
Al Michaels has it in his contract that the first minute on camera is all his and cannot have anybody else in the shot.
Really?
That's ridiculous. You talk about an ego. Collinsworth was making fun of him. Collinsworth was like, yeah, so he just goes off and does his thing for like a minute, and then I got to kind of work my way in.
That's what they did. He's got a good
agent.
I don't know, man.
If they're willing to give it to you, take it. I don't know. I'm kind of with Al Michaels on this one.
That's stupid.
It's diva behavior, but yeah. I kind of respect it.
No one needs a minute of Al Michaels, a straight minute of just Al Michaels on their screen.
Don't you have it in your contract to do the What Up H-Town at the beginning of our show?
No.
I'm kidding. It was on the tee. I had no choice. The NCAA selection committee for me, Blankers. How do you go SMU over Alabama? I'm still sick about it. NCAA selection committee in my doghouse. Do you have another one, Brian?
This might be something we get into more detail in a later day, but baseball salaries. I know a salary cap is never going to be put in because the players union will never let it happen. It's just something about baseball is tremendously flawed to me when you can have teams with a salary cap difference as massive as they are and expect to sell us that everyone's competing for the same thing. It gets frustrating at times when you see things happen like with the Soto deal.
Yeah, but I mean, you're worth what somebody's willing to pay.
I know, I get it, but you're worth what someone's willing to pay you in the NFL and the NBA, too, and they have salary caps.
Scary thing that I thought about is like a market like Kansas City, an organization like that, is going to lose Bobby Witt Jr. because they're not going to go with that kind of cash.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, this is what baseball probably is.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It's the model of the sport. Yeah. I mean, it is probably a bigger conversation. Texter, the entire Cowboys team is in his doghouse. Must be a Cowboy fan. Hate that for you. Hurts looked Brown dead in the eye, wide open twice on slants for touchdowns and threw to Smith instead. I like Smith more. Better chemistry there. And then someone else, say it again for the people in the back. Wussification. Wussification of sports in that person's doghouse, too. All right, I'm going to dip out early. Go Cougs. Blankers with the Texans. He thinks that there could be some drama heading into the last game of the regular season. He'll tell you why next. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Amber's drawings might be.
You have to promise not to freak out.
You're not an evil person just because you drew pictures.
Amber drew that?
What in the...
Sketch. In theaters now. Get your tickets at angel.com/sketch.